Good morning, Lance Tarchione, technical agronomist with DeKalb Asgrow, here with you on a somewhat warmer Saturday morning, a lot warmer than it was earlier in the week. Had a couple nights below zero this week, several nights in the lower single digits. Good old-fashioned cold snap for the middle of February. And next week, going to feel more like spring. Monday is going to be almost t-shirt weather, so be quite a turnaround. And you know, hence the old saying, if you don't like the weather in Illinois, just wait a week, it'll change. And this is certainly proving that that old saying. I love cold snaps in the winter, though, because it just reminds people that still gets pretty darn cold around here, and that's not a bad thing. So we're getting some good frost in the ground. Farmers always feel better when you get a good freeze down into some depth. Don't have a lot of snow cover, so get some frost in the ground. That's good for breaking up compaction, and cold weather is good for killing off some insect pests and maybe some disease spores and other things that have a hard time surviving when it's cold. So good cold winter never hurt anybody. So I'm all for that. We haven't really had a lot of cold this winter, just couple short stretches. I was watching a weather forecaster at a meeting earlier this week, and he thinks we've got another one of these blasts coming, maybe like late March, early April. Obviously, that time of year, it wouldn't be as cold as this past week was, but it would be, you know, unseasonably cold. And he was thinking we had maybe one more shot of some nasty weather coming. So who knows? He admitted that if he really knew what was going to happen, he wouldn't be at that meeting. He'd be living on his island somewhere because he'd be so filthy rich because he could predict the future. So anyway, had a busy week this week. A lot of stuff going on. It was a good week. Had lots of opportunities for learning. And when you're in my line of work, you got to keep up with stuff. People expect you to know things, and so that requires me to do a lot of training, go to a lot of meetings, try to keep up on stuff. And this week was a good week for me. So for many years, going back into the old Monsanto days, we've had a technical meeting this time of year. It's always in the middle of winter, called AgTech, and we get our entire technical organization from North America together for a meeting. We used to, you know, like have a real meeting and be together in one spot, was usually in St. Louis. But since COVID, the meeting has gone virtual, and even though you can do, you know, real meetings again these days, people have learned that it's cheaper to do virtual meetings. And so this was a virtual AgTech. They claim that they're hoping next year's will be in person again, but we'll see. It's always tempting to save the money and go virtual. But it was still a good meeting, a lot of learning, a lot of information, lots of great technical presentations, you know, updates on research and, you know, new and emerging diseases and stuff going on. So, you know, in corn, things like tar spot, there's a disease called red stunt that's going on down in Texas. We had, you know, aphids this past year, had a really good presentation on aphids and learned a lot about them and their behavior and what influences and affects them. Still betting we don't have aphids next year, but can't promise anybody that. And then people keep asking me, you think we'll have aphids again next year? And, you know, odds are highly likely that we will not, because we usually don't have them. And I think the warm winter last year had something to do with it. This winter, I mean, it's still snowed more in Florida than it has here. And it's been cold all the way to the Gulf Coast. And so hopefully that means that they did not overwinter as well, and they'll have to travel further to get here next year or this year than they did last year. But all depends on lots of factors, and we will find out this summer whether we see a return of corn leaf aphids or whether we can start to forget about the infamous aphid outbreak of 2024. But things like, you know, red crown rot, which is an emerging disease in soybeans that has the potential to be a big, big, big deal. A lot of updates on new products coming in the next 3 to 5 years, new corn rootworm traits, new BT traits, new herbicide resistance traits, new herbicides, new fungicides, lots of new products coming. You know, that's one thing that I'm very proud of working at Bayer is our pipeline of products is super deep. Farmers often tell us that our products cost too much, but we do reinvest more than anybody else back into research, the future products that we're developing. So when you buy that Bayer product and you wish it was cheaper, you can at least feel good that we are reinvesting a lot of that back into research to develop products that will hopefully benefit you and everyone into the future. Had updates on some insect resistance development. So Mother Nature is a tricky gal. We talk about that a lot here on Ask the Agronomist. You know, weeds, insects, diseases, things constantly evolving and becoming, finding a workaround or finding a way to still be a problem or become resistant to some sort of practice or product. You know, rootworm is the best example of that. Rootworm has become resistant to chemical insecticides. It has become resistant to biological controls. It has become resistant to cultural controls. It found a way to, in effect, become resistant to crop rotation. It has become resistant to biotech traits. And so it's a constant struggle to stay ahead of Mother Nature and give our growers, you know, effective and hopefully affordable ways to control pests and increase yield. One of the more fascinating presentations I saw this week was some work out of Canada, actually, on aerial application of fungicides. And it's always a huge debate. It's a big old can of worms you don't want to get into if you're me. You know, growers always ask, well, what's the best way to put on fungicides? Should I use a plane? Should I use a ground rig? Should I use a helicopter? Should I use a UAV or a drone? You know, those are all the different ways we can apply fungicides. And there's pros and cons of all of them. And there's been very little work. It's not, you know, it's not super easy, if you think about it, to do a field trial where you spray something with a drone, you spray something with a helicopter, you spray something with a plane, you spray something with a ground rig sprayer, and then make valid comparisons of what happens. And these guys up in Canada, they did an amazing study. The amount of effort that they went to measure, you know, the coverage and effectiveness and deposition of product of different volumes and different application methods of fungicides was fascinating. And, you know, they learned some things that explain, you know, farmers remember back in 2021 when we had huge disease, really heavy disease pressure. We had a lot of streaking in sprayed fields where it looked like, you know, right underneath the plane or the helicopter or the drone or whatever you had used, the product worked pretty good. But as you got out into the wings, it seemed like it didn't work as well. Well, these researchers have figured out why that is. And it was pretty interesting. Solving those problems are not always easy, because generally to solve a problem, that means you either need to do something more or do something different or do something better than what you've been doing. And more, different, and better tends to equal more expensive. And so we're always having to balance the cost of what we do with the benefit of what we do. And when you get to the point where the cost starts outweighing the benefits, even if there are benefits, it's not worth doing, because you're not being sustainable with what you're doing. So really good information, really good, a lot of learning, and people that are in my line of work, we try to keep up on stuff. And that way, when farmers, customers, people on the street ask me a question about something, hopefully I have the ability to at least help them find an answer to their question is always my goal. I've mentioned this before. Every 2 weeks, I do a program on YouTube Live that I call Ask the Agronomist. And sometimes when I'm doing this program, I almost say the name of that program, and vice versa. So Ask the Agronomist and Ag Talk both start with an "ah." And it's sometimes hard for the untrained broadcaster that I am to not mess that up. But anyway, this week I had a I had a chance to have a really special guest with actually some roots in Galesburg. So a guy by the name of Doug Schemmer, who's been a friend of mine since college. Doug and I were in college at U of I together. Doug started his career with Monsanto as a sales rep in the early 90s, actually lived in Galesburg when he was a bachelor. I will not name names of the local farmers that some of you knew, some of which were also bachelors back at that time, and some of them just acted like they were bachelors back at that time, who used to run around with Doug in Galesburg, and you know who you are. So anyway, Doug had a very successful career with Monsanto, lasted 21 years, and in 2011, I think it was, he decided to go back home to the farm, and that was always his plan, was to work in industry until he and his dad had a succession plan in place, and succession planning is a big deal with farmers who hope that the next generation takes over the farm. And had a great conversation with Doug on Ask the Agronomist, and I gotta give Doug a lot of credit. He did a great job. He touched on a lot of topics, both not just agronomic, but you know, life lessons and dealing with people and, you know, things he's learned in his life, and just kind of a, you know, pretty good motivational talk for farmers, actually. And I've had more people either text me, call me, come up to me on the street and say what a great episode that was. So if you're listening to my voice now and you know Doug Schemmer, you want to go to YouTube and check out our DeKalb AzGrow Western Illinois YouTube page and look for this week's episode of Ask the Agronomist. And even if you don't know Doug Schemmer, you watch that episode, you'll wish you knew Doug Schemmer. I've had two people, unsolicited, come up to me that watch that program, that don't know Doug, that they want to meet that guy because they were so impressed with him. So shout out to my friend Doug, and appreciate him joining me. And another really cool dude that I had an opportunity to hear speak this week. I've heard him speak one other time. I don't know him personally. I just know him by reputation. Man's name is Kip Tom. Kind of a cool name. You only got six letters in that name, but I got about 16 in my name, but I'm not near as impressive as Kip. He's a farmer, multi-generational farmer from Indiana, and he is a cool dude. I would describe him as a kind of a political insider. He's extremely well connected, you know, throughout Washington with government folks and even globally. He served as an ambassador in the first Trump administration, and that guy understands politics, agriculture, trade, world affairs, hunger, starvation, corruption, war, population dynamics. Just, I mean, all that stuff is a really wicked web of, you know, interconnected, you know, geopolitical kind of stuff. And he is the best guy I've ever seen as far as being, you know, he's a great storyteller. He's fun to listen to. He's intelligent. He's interesting. He's been all around the world. I mean, just the stories he can tell about different countries he's been in, places he spent time in, people he worked with there. He works with farmers all over the world. He works with politicians all over the world. He works with consumers all over the world. He works with activists all over the world. Oftentimes the groups he's speaking to maybe don't care much for agriculture, or they have a negative image of agriculture. And, you know, and if agriculture had more guys like Kip Tom out representing us, that would definitely be a good thing. But he's just kind of a common sense, hard truth, you know, gets the big picture, just a good guy. And, you know, one minute he's talking about, you know, some initiative that he was involved in to, you know, help starving people in Nigeria. The next minute he's talking about, you know, working with, you know, people in Europe on, you know, trade issues. And then he knows what's going on in China and what China's up to. And then he's telling stories about, you know, his grandfather on the farm that his family's been on since the, I don't know, sometime in the 1800s in Indiana. And just a fascinating guy. So, you know, do a Google search on him if you want to. If you ever have a chance to attend a meeting where he is speaking, get your butt to that meeting, and I know you'll be impressed. It'll be well worth your time. So, really interesting guy, was very thankful that I had a chance to hear him speak again this week, and I do some meetings every year that I'm always looking for speakers, and I'm not sure my meetings are good enough to justify bringing Kip in. But it would be really cool if we could. So anyway, hope you've had a good week. Hope you if you got some outdoor projects, got some equipment that you want to work on next week that you can't get in the shop because it's too big or the shop's too full or whatever. I'm going to have some pretty good outdoor weather next week if you've got outdoor things to do. A lot of calving going on. A little better weather next week for calving than this week was. We got through this week without any disasters. But pretty sure my herd manager didn't get a lot of sleep. So anyway, hopefully calving's going good on your farm as well if you're in the cattle business. And we'll be back with you again next week. Take care.